I want you to remember back to your younger days because I have a question for you. I ask you, in the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, who is the central character? Is it Baby Bear, who is concerned with his porridge and his chair and his bed? I don't think so. I think Baby Bear is a small character in a much larger story about this stranger who invades his home and disrupts his world. Only when Baby Bear meets Goldilocks does his story start and his world start to make sense again. So too, I want to argue in the gospel reading we just heard. Our attention naturally is drawn to the blind beggar sitting on the dirt in a Jericho street, wrapped in his cloak against the elements. We watch him cry out for mercy. We see him throw off his cloak as he springs up and runs to the great man to ask him, "Let me see again." And Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well," and Bartimaeus follows him on the road to Jerusalem. When we read this story with Bartimaeus as the central character, we naturally would think, I do, that we are being told, therefore, to imitate Bartimaeus so that we too can have the kind of faith that will make us well, right? So, clergy, and I've done this many times, even started to do it for this sermon, start to generate a list. Okay, I'm going to generate a list of the five things that Bartimaeus did so we can all take that list home and do those things. So here's a list. You got to cry out. You got to drop your possessions, run to Jesus, beg for help, and then follow. There are your five steps for healing. And of course, Bartimaeus is being described as a perfect disciple, and he certainly has things to teach us. But if we put him at the center, we miss the point, the saving point, and end up more self-absorbed and in greater distress as we struggle to be real perfect and religious in doing our list. It might be well-meaning advice. There may be some good things on that list, but in no way is that good news to a person in the dirt or a person in the pew who is suffering and then to be thrown back on their own resources again by giving a list of things to do. They might as well have stayed home for that. Bartimaeus is not the center of this story. God is. God, represented by Jesus, is the central character in every New Testament story. It is Jesus who is proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom of God, now heading to Jerusalem to take on the corrupt and corrupting powers of this world which destroy the creatures of God. Jesus, Emmanuel with us. Hard to believe Christmas is just around the corner, right? God with us. And it is Jesus who awakens the blind beggar to something new and overwhelming. Bartimaeus is just all but dead, sitting there on that street corner, sitting in his alienation and suffering, and then something happens to him. He doesn't generate it himself. It's like Jesus throws a switch, and the power of the Holy Spirit electrifies Bartimaeus. Remember as a kid, you get the little tiny iron filings, and you wave the magnet over, and they pop up, you know? Bartimaeus is like a little tiny iron filing that jumps to attention when the magnet passes by. It's an unknown yet friendly power pulsing through him, filling him with faith and hope. Where did that come from? The power that grasps him gives him the insight to name that power. Jesus of Nazareth, Son of David. And this force that brings him to life is not a force of nature. It's not the power of the force, which many of us will line up in 24 days, 13 hours, and 30 minutes to watch when the new Star Wars movie is out. This force has a name and an address, Jesus of Nazareth. And the force has a 1,000-year-old title in history, Son of David. That means both Messiah and King. It's the power of the God of Israel returning to save the world. And as Bartimaeus cries out, he is announcing this power also has a heart. Also has heart. Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, have mercy on me. It's not likely that Bartimaeus would have cried out that way if Tiberius Caesar had been parading through his town. Although every Roman coin, I guess Bartimaeus wouldn't have had any of these, but every Roman coin had an image of Tiberius Caesar on it. And around the side it said, Son of God. But that Son of God would just as likely have run a sword through Bartimaeus as anything else. And that's probably why the crowd tells him to shut up. They aren't sure that someone who represents Israel's God, they've been raised like some of us, thinking God can't be trusted. God's the angry big boss in the sky. Can't be trusted to have mercy on a nobody. But Bartimaeus feels this power surging through him, and he knows it is a power of grace and mercy. It's the same grace and mercy and God that we called on when we read the psalm just a moment ago. I sought the Lord, and God answered me and delivered me out of all my terror. Look upon God and be radiant. Let not your faces be ashamed. I called in my affliction, and the Lord heard me and saved me from all my trouble. You see, there's nothing in Bartimaeus that makes this encounter possible. And I realize this is really hard for any of us to see. There's no checklist he or you and I can follow to make God do what we want, to make us worthy, to make us religious enough so God will pay attention. None of Bartimaeus's actions are responsible for the power of Christ that grasped him. Rather, it is the power of God grasping his life that makes all his responses possible. He is grasped by the grace and mercy of God alone. So, some of you faithful and true remember 2 weeks ago, we had the rich young man, very similar kind of story, comes to Jesus, asks a question, but he wants to bring something to the table of his salvation. He brings his money. He brings his good works, his morality. Lord, I've kept all the commandments since my youth. He's got something to bring. And he too is grasped, remember, by the love of Christ. But in his pride, he is unwilling to receive what is offered, what has grasped him. As I said then, 2 weeks ago, I think the love would win out on this young man. But he wants to be God's partner. You know, I do my part, and then if need be, God can fill in what's missing. And this is the greatest hindrance, as Karl Barth has said, to faith. The greatest hindrance to faith is our heart swings between pride. We all know this. Feeling great about ourselves, thinking, you know, it's all good and I'm strong. And then it swings to anxiety. And then it goes back. We would rather not live by grace. And let's face it, we worked hard, right? In school, most of the time. We work hard in our work and in raising our families. And, I mean, we work hard. And so who among us really enjoyed singing, which I think most of us did sing just a moment ago, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but not now I see. Me, you, wretched, lost, blind. That doesn't come easy. That can't be right, can it? But Bartimaeus has no trouble, of course, admitting that he's wretched and blind, because he is, by every definition, wretched and blind. Bartimaeus is willing to admit that the faith that saves him is a pure gift from God. It's God's gift that allows him to trust in the faithfulness of God. We keep wanting to turn back on ourselves to generate this. And Christ just simply says, I am the faithful one. Just trust in me. Bart writes again, no more must I dream of trusting in myself. I no longer need to require to justify myself or to excuse myself or attempt to save and preserve myself. God has come to me and adopted me. This is the promise God gives us. I am there for you. So the good news is that in spite of what our egos tell us, in spite of what our culture tells us, we are not the central characters in the story of the world or even in the story of our own life. God choosing us before we were born, God deciding it was a good idea for us to be here and coming to us in Jesus of Nazareth. God in Christ is the central character. When we start to grasp that, it just takes so much weight off of our shoulders. You mean I don't have to carry this, you know, the play isn't dependent on me and my performance? Put it this way, Jesus is the magnet, and we are the slivers of iron. And that's good news, because as we all know, slivers of iron can't save themselves. All we can do is marvel and believe that when Jesus comes near, we too are grasped by that transforming and forgiving power that pulls us into the parade, which is what this is today, here and now, with Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. In a few moments, each of us, when we come up to the altar, will be invited by Christ to take the bread and wine, which is the life of Christ. And who is this Christ? Jesus of Nazareth, interceding for us, Hebrews tells us, living in us, Paul tells us. You remember, at the end of the Goldilocks story, Goldilocks runs away once the bears wake her up. Out the door, gone, never to return. At the end of the gospel story, Jesus dies for us, rises on the third day for us, returns to us, promises to be with us always. It's amazing, and it's true.